Now, as you guys may or may not know, I spend a lot of time in our Vineyard Kids program. And wouldn't you know it, that their topic this month is joy. Because we like to help kids really understand what the topic is, we have defined it this way. Joy is finding a way to be happy even when things don't go your way. I know you might wonder if there's a difference between joy and happiness. And I would say this. I think that they're the same feeling. They're the same emotion when you're feeling joyful, when you're feeling happy. But the difference is that happiness is dependent on our circumstances or our situation, and joy is not. Do you see why this is such a good definition of what joy is? You know, some weeks in Vineyard Kids, it's so funny. All the kids will be saying it in unison, what joy is. They know it's finding a way to be happy even when things don't go your way. And then immediately after that, I say that a certain child might not be able to help with a skit or be in the game. I hear so many that's not fairs. I see so many pouting faces right after they said the definition. It seems like there's a disconnect between knowing what joy is and experiencing it. Each week, I pray for the kids in Vineyard Kids that they would really learn how to find joy, even when things don't go their way. It's such an important lesson for them to learn. But I confess, it's a bit frustrating. They seem to understand what it is, but don't be able to experience it when something doesn't go their way. And then I realize something. I'm just like them. I so often realize that my joy is dependent on my circumstances. I can so easily lose my joy if maybe my car doesn't start, or plans fall through, or the weather doesn't cooperate. Do you know what I mean? Just this past week, I was as cranky and as unpleasant as I could be, for no great reason. It was just the situation of me not getting my way. I grumbled, I cried, I complained. I knew that I was supposed to be finding a way to be happy regardless, but honestly, I didn't want to. I wanted to wallow in my self-pity. It was as if I was choosing to focus on what was wrong, the things that were stealing my joy, instead of finding a way to be happy in spite of them. It wasn't necessarily a conscious decision to be unhappy, but I didn't take any action to get out of my funk. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever lost your joy as a result of not getting your way? Yeah, what'd you do? Did you plop down with your phone and start scrolling? Did you binge a new TV show? Maybe pour yourself a drink? Or if you're like me, eat a dozen Christmas cookies? And I know at different times I have tried all those things to feel better, but the sad truth is that none of them are going to give any lasting joy. I might feel better for a day or an hour, but very soon I would be right back to where I started. Now, if that sounds familiar, you know, if we keep basing our happiness on our situation, we will keep losing our joy. God knows that if we keep depending on our circumstances to give us joy, we're going to be on this emotional roller coaster constantly, rather than reflecting how consistently good He is. God doesn't change, even though we do. So how can we keep from losing our joy despite sickness or job loss and mounting bills? Isn't that our question? I'm going to answer that. In fact, I'm going to answer it with a survival tip. So you might want to write this down in your survival guide. Do you get the whole theme here? How do we keep from losing our joy? By remembering whose we are. Sometimes it's important to remember who we are. That's true. But to find our joy, to keep our joy, it's important to remember whose we are. We belong to the Lord. For those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, joy is one of the benefits of being in His family. God intends for us to live joyful lives. And he can help us make choices that are going to bring lasting goodness and complete joy in our lives, no matter what our circumstances are. We aren't designed to be able to keep joy in us by ourselves. Instead, this joy comes from the Holy Spirit coming in and making his home within us. You know, if you are familiar at all with the first disciples that Jesus called, if you can think about what they were like when he first met them, they were very fearful, fair-weather followers. That's how God found them. But after encountering Jesus and encountering the Holy Spirit, they went to joy-filled, sacrificing, empowered world changers. And all of that was from being aware that they belonged to the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit. They had joy in the midst of persecution, hardships, everything that went wrong and everything that went well. They could have joy because they had the Holy Spirit filling them. Remember a few weeks ago, I think it was the end of November, Troy told us about the Apostle Paul and his friend Silas. They were thrown into jail for no other reason than telling people about Jesus. If you missed it, you can listen to that sermon or any of our past sermons on the app. I'd highly encourage you to do that. But anyway, Paul and Silas are sitting in jail. And what are they doing? Singing praises to God. I don't know about you, but I can't sing when I'm depressed. They were full of joy, not because they were in jail, that would be foolish, but because they knew whose they were. They could sing because they looked to God instead of to the circumstances around them. The Holy Spirit filled them with joy. And you know what? We have the same Holy Spirit. He didn't quit. He's not done doing his job. And he longs to fill us with the same kind of joy in the midst of any problem or pain. He longs to heal our hearts and to transform us into greater reflections of God's goodness and God's grace. The Holy Spirit longs to make us a people so joyful that there's no other reason for our joy other than God with us. And I think I say this in every single sermon I ever give, but it's too good and too true to skip over. God is the smartest being in all of creation. He knows what's best. He knows what's best for each one of us. And yet, it seems like we stubbornly keep trying to do everything by ourselves. I'm going to quote one of my favorite authors. His name is C.S. Lewis. I'm going to paraphrase him. The quote's on the screen behind me. There's no sense in saying that we trust Jesus if we don't take his advice. So listen to Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, you, and the you, he's talking about God, you make known to me the path of life. Remember, God knows everything, and he loves us. So he will, through his Holy Spirit, let us know the path of life. He'll teach us what's best. Those things that'll bring peace, that'll bring hope, that'll bring joy. He'll lead us into the kind of life that we were always meant to live. And the result of him leading us? The psalm goes on to say, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. God knows what's right and good. He knows what's best. And he wants to show us those things. When we're on that path, when we're following his advice, when we're doing life with him, we can be filled with joy in his presence. Just a couple verses earlier, it says, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. Don't you love that? No wonder my heart is glad. The Lord is always with us. Reminds me of one of the names of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas is all about God coming to earth to be with us. There's this little known book in the Old Testament called Zephaniah. Have you heard of Zephaniah? I love this verse. This is verse chapter 3, verse 17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Isn't that amazing? He delights in us. I'm going to make this personal. He delights in me. He delights in you. He not only loves you, but he likes you. And he wants to hang out with you. Is it any wonder that King David wrote this in Psalm 28:7? The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. We can have joy not because of our situation. We can have joy because we're not alone in anything we do. God has done his part to be with us, sending Jesus at Christmas time to be human, sending his Holy Spirit to be with us today and living among us. He's done his part. He longs to make his presence known to us in every area of our lives. It's his desire to equip us to live lives of complete joy simply because we are his, because we belong to him. It's not because we're so great. It's because he is. It's not because we deserve it. It's because he's so generous. It really is possible to live lives of joy no matter what we're going through, because the fact remains that those of us who have put our faith in Jesus belong to a God who's mighty to save. Amen. He longs to give us everything we need to live the lives he's planned for us. You know, we often sing a song on Sunday mornings, Good, Good Father, and we love to sing that song. But it does make me wonder if we really believe that he's good. Are we ready to trust him completely, even with the things that could make us lose our joy? Maybe when we're passed over for a promotion at work, or when we're in danger of having our utilities shut off, when we're facing our first Christmas without a loved one, or if we can't afford to buy gifts. Are we ready to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives again? And I hope so, because the reality of life with God sounds almost too good to be true, if I was honest. Listen to Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single part of that verse is so meaningful, so amazing, that I don't even know what to stress. Fill us with all joy as we overflow with hope. It's a verse that covers all the topics that we've talked about in our holiday survival guide. Joy, peace, hope. What else could we need, really? But the key to all of that is in that verse too. The key is trusting him. Fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And there's another amazing verse found in Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Got to tell you a little background for the verse first. The Israelites, these people that God had chosen, they had been captured by their enemies, taken hostage. They had to live in other countries. Their city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. They had lost the written word of the Lord that they had. I mean, they had every reason to be miserable. But through it all, God was faithful, and he was leading them. It's in this book and under those circumstances where we find this very familiar verse. It says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." We know that verse, don't we? Did you know that was the circumstances for that verse to be written? Even in the midst of struggle, pain, misery, loss, the worst thing ever, God was reminding them that the joy of the Lord is their strength. And that's true for us as well. The joy of the Lord is what can keep us going when life is hard. When we're sad or lonely, God is with us. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we're sick and tired, the Lord is mighty. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we feel insignificant, when we feel overwhelmed with guilt, we can remember that the Lord bought us with a great price. And so the joy of the Lord can be our strength. And if you haven't yet decided to put your faith in Jesus, in the God who longs to fill your life with all good things? Today would be a great day to do that. You can do it by yourself. Just say, Jesus, I want you. Mark it on the back of your Connect card, though, and we can be in contact with you for how you can continue with the decision to follow Jesus. Because it's never too late to make that decision. There's never a mistake too big for him not to be able to make right. That's what he does. He loves you, each one of you, so much, and he wants you to love him back. For those of us who've already accepted Jesus' invitation to follow him, we're to carry the joy of our salvation everywhere we go. We have the power within us to change situations around us, to bring joy, to change attitudes, to brighten people's lives just by letting them see the joy of the Lord in our lives. Why is that so important? Why would God bother filling us with joy on this side of heaven? Why doesn't he just wait until we get to heaven and make us all feel good then? There's a very important reason, besides the fact that he just loves us and he's good in that way, but it's so we can shine in a dark world. We need to show everyone the wonder and the incredible freedom there is in following a God who loves us. So we can show the hurting world around us that there's hope. Our joy, despite our circumstances, is a way better witness than any Christian t-shirt or sweatshirt or bumper sticker you could have, right? Think about it. It doesn't make any sense to wear a shirt that says, Jesus is the reason for this season, if you're scowling at the person in front of you in the checkout line. If you want your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers to be curious about your faith in Jesus, being joyful despite your circumstances is the way to do it. When they run into hard times, they're going to remember, I can talk to my friend who seemed to be happy in the midst of hard times. We need to let them see our joy. God doesn't want us just to put on an act and try to be happy, though. He wants to meet us at the very core of whatever's going on in our lives and fill us with a joy that's rooted in his love for us. He wants to lead us through all the tough things that come into our lives that try to rob us of the joy he has for us. You know, I know there's countless ways for us to lose our joy. When we have more tasks than we have hours in the day, right? When we burn yet another tray of Christmas cookies. When we have family members who maybe aren't speaking to us. Or someone brings up politics during a Christmas party. We can go from happy to crabby in seconds. Big things, little things, it doesn't matter. They can all steal our joy. So how do we get it back? The first step is really easy. Admit that you've lost your joy. Don't just think, well, this is normal life. We're not supposed to be happy all the time. Yes, we are. We really can be filled with joy all the time and feel sad sometimes and feel disappointed sometimes. It doesn't have to steal our joy. So admit that you've lost it. It's an easy thing to lose, but it's so easy to get back. After you admit that you've lost it, look at your life and say, where'd it go? How did I lose my joy? Is there maybe something that you've done or something that you've committed to that doesn't need to be done? What circumstances or maybe negative comments or negative people have we allowed to get our minds off God and his goodness? You know, I love, there's a commercial that I love I'm going to use as an example. Now, it's not a great commercial because I don't know what it's an ad for, so it's not really good, but in the commercial, this woman is getting ready for lots of Christmas company, and she takes a pie out of a store box and puts the pie in her own pie pan. I love this commercial. She looks at her cat, who's dressed up in a Christmas sweater, and she thinks that the cat is judging her. So she says to the cat, you try making a pie. Welcome to my sense of humor. Okay, I know that I'm probably putting way too much thought into a commercial, but it's going to make my point that I think the lady realized that trying to make a pie was going to steal her joy. So she did it the easy way. Now, I don't condone lying, of course, and saying that you did something that you didn't. But let me say this. If making a homemade, over-the-top Christmas meal for your whole family is stealing your joy, don't do it. Order Chinese. We can have joy regardless of what's on the table. So figure out what's stealing your joy. I hear a lot of people say having to get the perfect gift is stealing their joy. The perfect gift is time with you. Figure it out. Then surrender your emotions and thoughts to God. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so you can see what God is doing, so you can notice the things he's already provided for you that could give you joy. This is the thing that really helped me this week when I had lost my joy. Remember when I was pouting about not getting my way? It wasn't that I was overwhelmed by all the things I had to get done. It wasn't that I had overspent and didn't have any more money. It wasn't even that I had had a disagreement with anybody. I just didn't get to do something that I wanted to do. It sounds ridiculous to say it now, but I know enough about God that I knew that he could help me find joy again. So I told him how I was feeling, and I asked for his help in seeing the good that he had for me, because he loves us and he always has good for us. And you can probably guess the rest of the story. First, I felt that peace that I always feel when I settle myself down and interact with the God who loves me. And then I started to notice the things that brought me joy, things that I felt were direct gifts from him. One was, it was like right at that moment, my dog came and laid his head on my leg. Now, it might not sound like a big deal, but my dog is still mostly puppy and would much rather grab my slippers and run off than sit sweetly with his head on my leg. So that was from Jesus. Then I saw an owl in my yard on a low branch in the morning during the daylight. God knows I love to see owls. I hear them all the time, and I don't get to see them, and there was one. It was from him. And then I got a text from somebody that I wasn't expecting that just made my heart glad. Now, maybe God actually told that owl to land in my tree. He might have done that. Or maybe he just opened my eyes to be able to see what was always going on around me. I mean, God is always doing things for our good because he loves us and he wants us to feel joy. Too often, I'm too preoccupied, too worried, too mad, too wallowing in self-pity to notice those things. So when we talk to God about how we feel, it opens up our hearts to see the things that he is doing for us. He knows you guys so well. He knows the things that are going to bring you joy. And if it's something that's also good for you, he's going to make sure that happens. But it's up to us to notice those things, to see those things. And that comes from spending time with him and sharing our heart with him. I know that God is always doing things to give us joy. But when we're crabby or distracted, we tend to miss out on those things. So be honest with God. Tell him how you feel and ask for his help. Last thing I want to mention is let your mind just wander to some of the wonderful things that God has already done for you. Can you think of any people that have enriched your life at any time? That's somebody that God allowed into your life. Do you have a place to live? Are you warm this winter? Those are gifts from God. Have you seen anything that's made you smile? It's a gift from God. And as you start to think about what's good in your life, you may start finding yourself agreeing with David when he wrote this in Psalm 126. He said, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." The more we focus on what God has done for us, the more joy we're going to have, because it produces gratitude. And we can't be grateful and crabby at the same time. It doesn't work. The coming of Jesus at Christmas was meant to bring joy. Remember what the angel said to the shepherds the night Jesus was born? He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." Good news. Jesus is here and he can identify with us. Great joy for all people, including us. That's what our loving God has in store for us, is joy. So if you have lost your joy or just can't seem to find it, all you have to do is ask him to fill you again. And he will, because he loves you. Let's pray.